And send me your number, because obviously I don't have your number. I must have an old number. Okay. All right. Obviously, series on dating and marriage is a very important thing. It's important for us to understand these things and to try to remember them and have ways of reminding ourselves of them as we get closer to the place. Someone asked me whether Shana Bet is the right time for it. And the answer is no, because most of you are not dating, should not be dating. If I knew that all of you would be here, Shana Dalet and Shana Hay, then we would have it then. But, it's very nice to have Adin here, and Ari here, and Azy here. You know, everyone else I'm not seeing, and Nati, Jake, I see in the back. Okay, that's wonderful, but not everybody's here. So we have to talk about it now. But this is not meant to imply that this is the right time for you to be dating. I think the point of this series is that the world speaks a lot about these issues. Some of what the world says is good, some of what the world says is bad. But clearly the Torah, as much as it gives us guidance in other areas of life, obviously has a lot to say about this too. And it's important that our outlook on building our lives as Torah people express itself in our dating and marriage too, because who you marry and how you marry is a basic part of your identity. So if a person's Torah identity only expresses itself in tzitzis and Shabbos, and how they get date and get married is something different, that's going to impact the whole future of their lives. So it could be you have it all figured out, but if you don't date and marry correctly, and you see this very clearly, who a person marries has a major, major impact. When a person's putting together their list, it should be, number one, a person who's going to help them be the Ben Torah that they can be. And then like 5,336,212 as far as consideration should be everything else. Meaning, it's very important to, if a person values Torah that way and their identity as a Ben Torah that way, then it should be that way. But the first step in this series is understanding marriage itself. What is the Torah's perception of marriage? And of course, a good place to learn about that would be the Torah. Now, there are a lot of people who learn about the Torah from other sources. But of course, you know, the other sources that are very valuable are to help us understand the Torah. And I believe that how we're meant to view marriage is something the Torah relates to already from the very beginning of its description of man and woman, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, that's us, that's who you marry. And what's most interesting in, of course, Parshat Bereishit is that the Torah has two different portrayals of the creation of man and woman. And in this differentness lies a lot of what marriage is about. Let's begin with the first one in Perek Aleph. As we know, the Torah writes in Pasuk of Hey, just like all the other creatures, Vayas Elokim et Chayat Haaretz Limina, et Abema Limina, et Kol Remes Adama Liminehu. It keeps talking about the species. When it gets to man in Pasuk of Zion, it doesn't mention the species. Instead, it talks about how God created man B'Tzelem Elokim, Zachar Unikeva. We don't have the terms Zachar Unikeva by the other species. And now the question is, what does this mean? The next pasuk is a continuation. Vayevarech otam elokim, vayomer lehem elokim, pru revu melu et aretz. So, man is created zachar v'nekevah, and then receives the bracha. The bracha, the most important destiny of man, is pru revu. Why the mitzvah pru revu is described in Chazal as being a mitzvah rabbah. Very important mitzvahs, all kinds of halachic implications of that. Selling a Sefer Torah, the Gemara and Megillah, the Mishnah and Gittin about forcing a master of a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, to free him, because it's the one thing God tells man. That's why we'll discuss later in the series about possibilities of contraception. Not just the narrow question of Isser V'Heter, it's also what a person's understanding of their mission should be. Okay. So, man is created in Perek Aleph as one being. There's a tension here, a duality, because it says, B'tzelem Elokim bara oto, zachar unakeva bara otam. One being singular, one being plural. But clearly we're talking about one physical creation. If we continue in Perek Bet, then we see something very different. Perek Bet, in Pasuk Zion, we have the creation of man. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim et ha'adam, afar min ha'adama, etc., etc. Then later, in Pesukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet, as we know, God puts man to sleep, the very first surgery, right? And takes out a tzela and builds woman from it. There are a number of other important things here that we need to notice. The first is Pasuk Yud Chet. We'll talk about this more later, but Vayomer Hashem Elokim, lo tov hayot ha'adam levado, esa lo ezer kenegdo. We see here the significance of man and woman's relationship as being beyond the way it was presented in Perek Aleph. If you look in Perek Aleph, what's said there about man and woman's relationship? Only one thing. It's supposed to prove of who. Here we're talking about the goodness of it. Now it's interesting, we'll see later, the Radak says, well, it's not good because they can't multiply. Most people shouldn't disagree with that because you can't get a tzivui to multiply if you can't. So it must be they could have multiplied even when they were one, maybe like amoeba, whatever, okay. The Gemara in Yevamos, though, Tav Samech Aleph, in the next source, talks about Pru Revu. Mishnah says, Lo Yivata Adam Epir Ve'er Ve'elem Kein Yesh Labanim. Person can't avoid Pru Revu unless they already have been Kayim Nechiv with children. The Gemara infers, if a person has children, they don't have to do Pru Revu, but they have to be married. The Gemara says, this supports of Nachman Amar Shmuel, who says, even though a person has a lot of children, Osir Lamod Belo Isha. Osir! Not just, it's not a good idea. Shenamar Lo Tov Heyota Adam Levado. It's not good for man to be alone. So we see here that there's a purpose, a significance, an importance of man being with a woman besides giving birth. We'll talk about this more at length. But I want to make another point here, which I think is important. Pasuk Yud-Chet, God tells us, God says, it's not good that man is alone. What would you expect to happen in the very next Pasuk? God should make woman, right? What happens instead? Pasukim Yud-Tet and Chaf. God brings all the animals to man to name them. Why does he take a trip to the zoo if there's no girl to go there with? Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, no guy goes to the zoo stomp to see the bears, right? Well, you know, unless they're going to see the Cutler bears and, you know, terrible they end up delaying. Aww. Yeah. In any case. Why go to the zoo? Or bring the zoo to him? I think the answer comes in the end of Pasuk Chof, and it's very important. It says that man gives names to all the animals, obviously, taking into account their uniqueness. Uli Adam lo matza ezer kenegdo. And man sees that he doesn't have an ezer amongst the animals. Meaning, God realizes without man, but God won't create woman until man realizes it too. Because man can't marry until he appreciates that he's missing something. Uni formulates it this way. If you take a look at the next source, it says, "Lo matzah petach la'asot ad la'achar kriyat ha'shemot kedei she'yitaveh lo v'yichaveveni yoter," so that he should appreciate her more. I think this is an important thing about marriage and about dating. A person can't marry properly if they don't feel the loneliness of being alone. And they shouldn't be dating if they don't feel that, because they're not going to be ready to really connect to someone if they don't feel that way. Baruch Hashem, God creates us and programs us that at the age when we're supposed to get married, we start feeling very lonely. The fact that a person is feeling very lonely isn't a problem. It's a very healthy, beautiful, wonderful thing. And the fact that our society, which is not the conversation for now, delays the marriage age beyond what we're built to marry at, puts us through a lot of miserableness. We should understand that that's what's supposed to be. Marriage wouldn't be something we would appreciate without that sense of loneliness. Okay, but back to our point. Perek Aleph talks about the creation of one being. Perek Bet talks about the creation of a being and then the separation and formation of a separate second being. This duality, continuing in the bottom of page 1, is summarized as a central part of the Sheva Brachot. Now what's interesting is, I don't print it here, but we'll see it later, there are 7 Brachot. One is Bere Pri HaGafis, let's put that aside. The 7th one, Asher Bara, is a summary of all the others. So there's really 5 Brachot. Of the 5 Brachot, 3 of them are about creation. First one is, anyone remembers? Shehakol Bara L'Chvodo. And then there are 2 about the creation of man that I printed here. Second was about on page 1. The first is Yotzer Adam, and the second one is that process of the second stage, of the separation of woman from man. The Gemara in Ksuvos talks about the significance of these 2 brachos, talks about how there were some who didn't have both. What's the basis of the chokes, whether have 1 or 2? So the first shot, 3rd line says, the one who says there's only 1 bracha holds Chadi Yetzirah. The one who holds 2 brachos holds that both stages are significant yitzirot. The creation of man is 1 is a yitzira, and then the separation of woman is a yitzira. Then the Gemara says an even more interesting thing. Lo, the kuliyam achad yitzira havoi. Everyone agrees there's only 1 stage that's considered yitzira. Mar savar basa machshava azlinon, mar savar basa maaser azlinon. The Gemara elaborates that God initially had in mind to create them as 2 separate beings, but then he created them as 1 being, and then separated them. Bring Dr. Carlin to examine God. He's having decision-making issues. Again, he has the thought to create them as separate, creates them as one, and then separates them. The head scratcher. Especially if you have no hair. It's an easy, easy head scratcher. Kaplan's a head scratcher. It's a head scratcher. Show us that brownie pose. There we go. We'll call it the Yaakov Kaplan brownie pose. Maybe just call it the brownie pose. Elon, you know why he was doing that? He was trying to get brownie points. Okay. The good thing about Elon is that he's expressive. You know what he feels about it. You know, I'm just going to sit there and go, oh. You should call him Elon Gronkowski. He's got, of course, he has to be a little bit taller and bigger and, you know, make a lot of money.
You're still growing.
There's hope. Now, obviously, the question is, why this back and forth? So I would summarize it this way. On the one hand, man and woman are supposed to be separate. That's why we're separate. On the other hand, we're supposed to come from one being, which is why we come from one being. God has the initial intention of creating them separate because that's what they're supposed to be. But he creates them as one, even though it's a temporary state, because that needs to be part of our past. And in the first part of the shiur, I want to explain both of those. Why are we separate, and why do we come from one? So let's start with why we're separated. If we continue on page 2, we already saw the pasuk, Lo tov heyota adam levado, and I think that this pasuk is a clear contrast, Perek Aleph, where God creates everything and everything is described as good. There's one thing that isn't described as good. Ramban writes, second source on page 2, and that's man. Man is not described as good because when he's alone, he's not good. Lo tov heyota adam levado. Now the question is why? So Rashi writes, it's not good for man to be alone because if he's alone, he'll think, you know, he's God of the world. There needs to be another person so man is corrected in realizing that he's not the only one. Rashi Pshat is talking about a religious problem. But most of the Rishonim understood that the Lo Tov is not the religious beliefs of man, but his own life isn't what it's supposed to be. So the Radak says, next source, it's not good because, second Pshat of the Radak, last line, he won't be able to make babies if he's alone. Now the Ramban answers that by saying that it doesn't make sense that God would create man without the ability to reproduce and be mitzavah him to reproduce. So it must be the Lo Tov is more than that. And that's why the Hamak Dover here writes that the Lo Tov is different than other animals. Right? Other animals also have a female to reproduce with. But the point of Lo Tov Hayota Adam, there's something unique about man because his marriage is supposed to mean more. There's something wrong with a man being alone more than just his inability to reproduce. And of course, this is what the Torah means when it says, Lo Tov Hayota Adam Levado, E'eselo Ezer Kenegdo. Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. What is the Ezra that a man is supposed to get from a woman and a woman from a man? The Radak, when he talks about Ezer Kenegdo, if we go back, he says, Sheyeh Ozro Kasher Yitzarech. That she'll help him when he needs help. One could understand this in a very technical plane. Right? He needs help. Honey, bring the dishes, right? Meaning some technical help. If Shimshon Farl Hirsham, as we'll see, not just him, we'll talk about the Rishonim and etc. who elaborate on this. You write second source on the bottom of page 2, HaTafkid hu rav mikocho shel echad. What a person needs to accomplish in this world is too much for a person to accomplish alone. And the tafkidim need to be divided between people who are going to work together to realize them. And the truth is that I think if you look more closely at the Radak and the Ibn Ezra, also last source on page 2, they quote a pasuk which I think helps us begin to understand what this is about. The pasuk they quote as explaining what all this means is Tovim Hashnayim in Echad. Two are better than one. Now Tovim Hashnayim in Echad doesn't seem that it's on the pure technical plane of two people can bring more dishes. It's an existential question about a person's mindset. I think it's what we call relationships. If you take a look at the top of page 3, it's Tovim Hashnayim in Echad Asher Yesh Lem Sachar Tov V'Amalam. If they fall, one can help the other up. But then Pasuk Aleph is Gamim Yishkevu Shnayim, even if they both fall, V'cham Lehem, at least they have each other to comfort each other. Right? It's Chaverut. It's warmth. If we look back at the Radak on page 2, the Radak mentions this idea, very beginning of the piece, Lo Tov Yoto Adam Levado, Lo Tov Shiel Levado Belo Chavra. It's not good for a man to be alone. And I think you see this in the Lashon of the Gemara in Yevamah Staf Samach Gimel, second source on page 3. The Gemara there says that Rabbi Yossi met Eliyahu Hanavi. He said, it says, Eselo Ezer. In what way does a woman help man? Person brings wheat. Chitin koses, can he chew it? A person brings pishtan. Pishtan lovesh, can he wear it? Lo nimtzeit mi'ira einav u'ma'amidato al raglav. If you look at the beginning of the piece, it makes it sound like, oh, yeah, man needs a woman to grind the wheat and to turn the pishtan into clothing. But if you look at the part that's bolded here, it seems that it's much more than that. It's to help a person have a stance. Mi'ira einav u'ma'amidato al raglav. To make him feel like he's supposed to feel. And the Ramban explains this very, very clearly. Let's go back to the Ramban, third source in the bottom of page 2. As I said earlier, the Ramban writes, It doesn't seem like what Lo Tov means is that man couldn't reproduce, because clearly man wasn't created without the ability to reproduce. Lomar, he elaborates that man was made with two facets to him, right? Two parts of him, two faces. The rock, I'm at the bold part now. Kitov sheyeh ha'ezer omed l'negdo v'hu yir eno v'yipared mimenu v'yitchaber elav kefir ritzono v'zeu she'amar es elo ezer k'negdo. The Ramban seems to be highlighting that the change wasn't the creation of an ezer. She was already there. Attached. The point was that the ezer should be k'negdo. It's the separation that's significant. Why? That the Azer should be omed lenegdo, should stand opposite him. V'hu yir eno, and he should be able to see it. V'yipared mimenu, and separate from it. And here comes the most important part. V'yitchaber elav kefir ritzono, and connect to it based on choice. The Ramban is saying is, there are all kinds of things that are part of us that we take for granted. What do we like more? Our arm or our shirt? Which is more valuable? Our arm. Most people don't have any particular feelings for their arms. Why? Why? Because they didn't choose it. A shirt is what you choose. The things we choose for ourselves, the things we choose to do, are the things we're invested in. And the separation of woman from man gives man a chance to see, observe, and choose to connect. The ability to be separate is the only way we can choose to be together. This is a very important theme in general. If we take a look, page 3, the Gemara of Adazara, Daf Yotes. Rav, the early Amor, Rav Tano Palak, says, Ein Adam Lomei Torah Elam Yimakum Shalibo Chafetz. Shenemar Kiyim Torah Hashem Chamsa. Amar Rava, almost the end of the Amorim, hundreds of years later, seems to say the same thing. The Olam Yilmod Adam Torah B'makum Shalibo Chafetz. The difference is, Rav is making a suggestion, Rav is making an ontological statement. Rav says, because a person doesn't learn things they don't desire to learn, it pays to learn what you desire to learn. So what I'm trying to highlight here is that Rav is making a real statement, and anyone who went to high school knows how true this is. People don't learn things they're not interested in learning. I mean, you can go through the process, but you don't acquire and connect to the knowledge. And Mark goes on to talk about how Torah becomes yours when you learn the things you choose to learn. This is important in general, and clearly it's important when we talk about love. You can work together with someone, but you can't love someone you didn't choose to be with. Used to be in my day, I don't know, you know, I haven't gotten married in a long time. Right? But there used to be a tension in the wedding invitations. Because you would have the boy and the girl, and then it says something in between. What does it say in between? Anyone knows? Yeah. So, the frum thing to write is, imbat gilo. With, you know, with the one who is meant to be with him in Hashamayim. And the modernish people write, imbichirat libo. With the one he chooses. I think one, either without the other, is problematic. So, what the, you know, Manrothrax from people, if that makes sense, you know, say whatever you want to call it. What we did on our invitation was, we made like circles. It says, Imbat Kilo and Bechirat Libo, you know what I'm saying? You with me? You with me? So, you know, I think that's the truth. We have to make the choice and believe that we're choosing what God has set, you know, separated for us. This is how the Maor B'Shemesh, one of the Chassidish Rebbes, explained that, you know, you see lovers, looking into each other's eyes, the ability to see each other, love each other, and choose to be with each other is critical in marriage. And that's why we have to be separate. If we were one, we would miss all of that. So why do we come from one? I think the significance of that is that we need to see our union as more than something happenstance. If I choose this notebook, I have no relationship with this notebook. I mean, like it very much. And then tomorrow I don't like it and it's gone. We're meant to see the spouse as being part of ourselves. Brooke writes, top of page 4, that there are two basic principles in nature, not just in marriage. There's chibur, yesod hateva, yesod habchira. There's the natural relationship between things and the choices we make. And an important part is to see the correlation and relationship between the two. And this explains, I think, a lot about the objective and subjective nature of marriage. Let's start with objective. The Zohar writes, second source on page 4, that a man and a woman are parts of one soul. Or, in another Zohar, in the Gemara in Yevamos, it says, "Kol adam shein lo isha eino adam." A person that doesn't have a wife is not a person. The Gemara, the Medrash Rabbah talks on a lot of other levels. He's below Tova, below Ezer, below Simcha, below Bracha, below Kapara, below Shalom, below Chaim. Rav Chiya Bar Gamda then says, "Af eino adam shalem." Af eino adam shalem. Why is it that a person without a wife is not complete? Because we come from something that included more. And this is where the strong, subjective passion of love and marriage comes from. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about why it is that a man is the one who pursues the woman, ki yikach and not ki tilokach. Darko shel ish lechazer al isha, and it gives a mashal to a person who's lost something, Rashi says, the tzela. This feeling that we're incomplete and we've lost something. The Gemara in Ksubas of Samach Bet says a very interesting story that Rebbe was involved in marrying off his son. So he found the caliphate and they agreed that he would learn for 12 years before getting married. She passed in front of him and then he said, "You know what, let's make it 6 years." Then she passed in front of him again and he goes, "You know what, let's make it as soon as possible." And Rebbe's son was embarrassed, but as if he didn't have values. And Rebbe said to him, "What are you talking about? Das konech yeshbach. This is how God creates man. That he should miss and need woman." The Rishonim connected this strong love to the psukim that talk about the relationship between man and woman after the separation and building of woman. If we look, bottom of page 4, Adam looks at woman, first words of man are about woman. It's a song. Men have been singing about women ever since, right? Vayomer Adam, Zot apam, etzem me'atzamayu basar mi'bsari, as opposed to the other thing. So this is part of me. Lizot yikare ishaki me ish lukachazot. She'll be called woman because she's taken from me. Al kain yazov ish et aviv ve'et imo v'davak v'ishto ve'ayu lebasar echad. Al kain. Why is it that there's this strong connection? Because it's etzem me'atzamayu basar mi'bsari. Continuing on page 5, on the pasuk in Bereishit Perek of Dalet, where it says that when Yitzchak met Rivka, he was in love. And he was consoled about the loss of his mother. Pirkei Avot Lazar says, until a person gets married, their loyalties are to their parents. When they find that woman, suddenly, you go from caring most about or feeling loyal to people you've known your whole life who created you, to some stranger you met 3 weeks ago. That's the great power of love. The Ramban connects Pasuk of Dalet to Pasuk of Gimel. And he says, because it's from one, that's why this loyalty happens. The Rashba in the Tshuva takes it even further. He goes, that's why, exactly the point we're making, that's why man and woman were created together as one being. So that powerful feeling should exist. And this concept is a very important emotional transition that a person has to be ready to make and has to make in order to date first and then get married. The ability to move from seeing oneself as a separate, selfish, but more separate and therefore selfish entity, to being part of something bigger, which of course is important beyond just a relationship with someone's wife. A person should feel connected to everything in the world, right? But first of all, that. And this is really the source of an underlying tension in marriage. In the end, marriage is bringing together two independent people who are meant to see themselves as one person. Or in the words of Phil Collins, two hearts beating in just one mind. On the end, they're two hearts. On the other hand, they're supposed to feel that they beat in one mind. And both are true. And that tension is a part of the challenge, you know, of building a healthy marriage, which we'll learn about in later sessions. Okay, so that was part 1. There are 2 more parts. Part 2, I want to talk about what the nature of the relationship between men and women is supposed to be. And I think that this second part also connects to the question of, you know, man and woman coming from one being. Traditionally, for those not aware, marriage is a very chauvinistic thing. To the point where people didn't even see it as chauvinistic to see marriage that way. Man is the man, and the woman is the helper. And the truth is, Pashup Shah and the Pasuk, what does it say? I'll make you a helper. Perfect, right? Every man has a helper. And this is how the Rashba, one of the Rishonim, and the Ravid, and many others, but I'm just giving two examples, explain the significance of woman being created from man. You can read it inside here if you want. The Rashba, after talking about it, he says, let's look at the last two lines in the Rashba, first source, page 6. Ve'ena nekeva nechsheves bibriya, kibriya, she'ena ela kidavar hatofel el ha'ikr. Your Hebrew is strong enough to understand this, right? Ulakoach mimenu ulitzorech tashmisho. Taken from him? No, to serve him. Litzorech tashmisho. Either way. And then the Rashba connects it to one explanation of Chazal of the relationship between men and women in that combined unit. V'hu shekra'ua rabosenu zalzanov. Moran Erevin Daf Yudches asks, what does it mean? What was the tzela that God took off man to build woman? So one pshat is his tail. So you have man with a tail. So then his tail is taken and developed into woman. Woman comes from man's tail. Right? Hmm. The Ravid adds in his discussion the concept of man ruling over woman. What's the basis for ruling over woman? Bereshis Perek Gimel. Yimshalbach. We've shown him there, Rashi, Ben Ezra, Rambam, talk about this. The Ravid at the end says, because woman is created for man to serve him, Al Kane, three lines from the end of the Ravid, Roy Hadam Leovis Ishto Kinafsha, he should love his wife like himself. Ula Chabda, and to respect her. Ula Rachim Aleh, and to have mercy and to be sympathetic to her, and to take care of her, because she's there for him. I was at a chuppah once, where a rabbi got up to talk, and he said, the Ravid writes in the Bali HaNefesh that a man should care about his wife, and love her, and respect her, and better and watch her. I'm like, I don't believe that. Talk about, quoting something out of context. He didn't say, because she's there to take care of him and serve him. That part he didn't say. he's speaking to a modern Orthodox crowd. He's assuming no one's going to go home and actually look at the Bali HaNefesh. But I happen to know the Bali HaNefesh. I'm like, whoa! He probably, thinks she got away with murder. And says, oh, what a beautiful speech. Okay, so this is marriage, right? Your wife is there to serve you, and you rule over her, and Shalom Israel. When we first started the series on dating and marriage, my mother-in-law said, what are you going to talk about? So I said, I'm going to talk about who Yim Shalbach. She goes, we don't talk about that. Now, my mother-in-law is a very firm woman, very, very firm. I said, what's Pyat now? Because we don't talk about that. What do you mean we don't talk about it? So we build our perceptions off whatever our friend next to us thinks, and then we just leave the parts of the Torah that don't fit in on the side. Because it doesn't matter, you can't talk about it. Again, we build our perceptions hopefully from the Torah. So what's Pshat? So first of all, I want to tell you that if this is your perception of marriage, your marriage is not going to work very well. At least, if you marry a girl who's at all like you. You could probably find a girl somewhere in the world who will, buy into this. I'm not even sure if that's true. Second of all, it's not going to be true and not going to be ideal. If what you want is a servant or a helper, so okay, maybe you'll get that. I'm not even sure you'll get that. But marriage, I believe, can be and should be more, and I believe there are sources in the Torah for implying that. Let's go back to the pasuk, that we're supposed to avoid. Hu Yimshalbach. Hu Yimshalbach. Pinchas, maybe this summer the BNP put up a big sign. Hu Yim Shalbach. Who needs Shvisi Hashem the Negdi Summit? Just Hu Yim Shalbach. That's it. if the Greeks forced us to translate a Sefer Torah today, we know which pasuk would be, reformulated, for... If you look carefully at that pasuk, Perek Gimel Pasuk Tetzayin, it also says a couple of other things. It says a woman is going to have pain in childbirth. Now, it's true that women have pain in childbirth, but is it a chiyuv for women to have pain in childbirth? Is a woman allowed to have an epidural? Epidural is something to make it be less painful. So the Queen of England, Elizabeth, well, let's take Elizabeth there. In the time of Queen Elizabeth in England, they were using chloroform to, put women out of their pain. And the Church of England said it's usher, because it says, until Queen Elizabeth used it. You know, she passed through her own activities. Now, Judaism has never suggested such a stupid thing. There are no poskim who say that it's usher for women to, you know, to release their pain. The same way it says in the couple of poskim before, to man, afterwards, bezeas apecha toch alechem. You leave bread by the sweat of your brow. Is it mutter for a man to have bread without sweating? So you have to have some Christian person who say, well, this is, you gotta sweat. So what's the answer? Why isn't it a chiv? Because it's not a chiv, it's a
curse.
It's a curse. It's a curse. Man took advantage of the goodness that was given to him, and God cursed him and said it's not gonna be so good anymore. Woman used her abilities. She's punished with childbirth pain, and she used the equal relationship she had with man to cause him to sin, and therefore man's put in charge, so there won't be any problems anymore. And we know that, you know, once man was put in charge, everything worked fine, right? But it's not the ideal of what marriage is supposed to be. In fact, one could go even further. Is it coincidental that in the world we live in, fewer people sweat to get bread, women have less pain in childbirth, and the Jewish people have returned to Israel? So when we talk about our belief that the Geula process is happening, isn't it interesting that all that's lining up, and marriages are becoming more equal, and even though feminism is doing a lot of terrible things, like any other revolution, needs to find its balance, but the concept that marriage can return to being a real relationship along the lines of what we spoke about before, something I think is not only legitimate, but I think has basis. If you look at the second source on page 6, in the Gemara we talked about a couple of minutes ago, the Gemara there is talking about the Tzela. And there's two opinions. One said that tzela is a tail, and the other opinion says that tzela is parts of another face, right? If we take the face as opposed to the tail being the most insignificant part, the face being the most significant part, if you understand it that way, then we're talking about the first creature including two dimensions. If we look at page 7, yeah, the psukim about the curse, the Ramban writes, the point I made that woman was punished in desiring her husband so much because of what she had done wrong. Rashi, on Salosov, which pshat does he quote? Shnei partsufim nivru, based on psukim regarding the Mishkan. The Medrash Rabbah elaborates on this, that man was created as an androgynous, male and female together, and sawed apart. Which is why God put man to sleep, because he shouldn't have to see himself being sawed. And I think one can therefore reach a very different understanding, and I think traditionally marriage is understood differently based on the realities of men and women. And the truth is that at a time where women were not educated and developed as much as men were, it's understandable that their place in marriage and the nature of the relationship was not as deep as it can be when a woman is developed more to her potential. Rav Hirsch, who lived at a time where women were starting to be given the opportunities to develop themselves, he talks about it this way. And he says that man is separated into man and woman, and part of man is developed into woman, so that ultimately the two who stand as separate creatures, the formulation of the Torah is meant to teach us that the two are equally significant. And then he goes even further. He says, Chazal spoke so much about the beauty and skulot of woman, her voice, her nature, her temperament, her spiritual development more than a man in many ways. And he said all this is due to the way woman was created. Man was created from dirt, but a woman was created from man. Meaning the fact that woman is built off something that's already a Tzelem Elokim puts her on a level that's above where man comes from. And the truth is, it's not a competition. And shouldn't be a competition. Who's greater, man or woman? They're not greater, they're different. But marriage in its ideal form is meant to be two meaningfully developed people who come together and can share very meaningful things. The more you get out of marriage, the more the person you marry has to them, the more they bring to your marriage. So what you will have in your marriage and in your family will depend on what kind of woman you look for. Look for someone who enriches you, your life will be more enriched. If you look for someone who follows you, so you'll have a, what's the term? You'll have a fan club. Great. Good luck. Part 3. If we take a look at page 8, Qoheles, those alerts that we know, it says, look to focus and understand the world, and my conclusion was Pasuk Chavav, Umotzeani Mar Mimavet Et Aisha. The first part of Qoheles, he talks about death being a very bad thing, and then he comes to the conclusion that what's worse than death is woman. In Mishlei Perikachet, very interesting, similar formulation, it says, Matza Isha Matzatov. Person who finds a woman finds goodness. We already saw the Gemara in Yavamas about this. The Aron Brachos, in fact, says that when people would get married in Bava, in Eretz Yisrael, people would ask, is it a matzah or a motzeh? Is it a matzah isha matzah tov or a motzeh ni mar mimavet? Now the question is, what does it depend on? So Rashi, very similarly and famously, writes on Ezer Kenegdo, Zacha Ezer, lo Zacha Kenegdo. If a person lives his life properly, his wife will be a helper and someone on the same team. If not, she'll be on the other team, and I would put it in context of Qoheles, his worst enemy and more bitter than death. Now the question is, what does it depend upon? This is an important question, right? Mar in Sota Zafid Zayin says, Ish va'isha, zachu shechina b'neim, lo zachu eisho chlasan. Very similar lashon to Rashi, presumably building off this Gemara. Rashi explains, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided his name and put it with man and woman. Ish has the yud, isha has the hay. So if they function properly, they bring the name of God together. If not, then not. Yerushalmi formulates this in a very similar way. It says, "Ef shel ish below isha." It's impossible for a man to be without a woman. "Ef shel isha below ish," and "Ef shel shneim below shechina." And it's impossible for them to function properly together without the shechina. So what does that mean? Put up a little sign in our house, you know, for the shechina. Hold a little chair at the table. The Rashi in Sota says, "Zachu." On that Gemara, right? Laleches bederech yeshara shelo yehu noef velo hi noefes. They should be loyal to each other. If they keep the shechina between them by respecting halacha, so then things will work out. But I think one can say an additional thing, which is not at all sota what Rashi says, it just enhances it more. And I think it's the deeper, wider significance of what Rashi says in Bereishis Perek Bet Pasuk Chet, Zacha ezer lo zacha kenegdo. People, as much as we believe that we come from one being, we feel like separate beings. I'm me, and you're you. Now, as human beings, we are naturally selfish. My life is about me, not you. Marriage is rooted in the ability to transcend oneself. How do you do that? How do you do that? This problem is why marriages don't work. Marriages today are, you know, generally partnerships. It pays me, I'm going to get something from you, you're going to get something from me, and we'll be together as long as it's in our interests. Both of our interests. What are the chances those interests are going to last for 50 years? Change, right? Just like business partners break apart. What can help a person transcend themselves? I think there's only one real answer to it. Well, there's a general answer, but I'll give the real answer. The general answer is a common cause. Let's say I'm devoted to socialism, and you're devoted to socialism. We're devoted to something beyond ourselves. We can join together in that. And there have been a lot of people who have been married, and their lives have been rooted in their common cause. This is one problem with that. It's not real. What happens when one person wakes up and says, wait a second, socialism? I'm a sucker. I'm not a socialist. I'm going to be pericdolid in Qoheles. Wait a second. Whoa. Torah's answer is that a person transcends themselves when they realize that life, their life, the world's life, is about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if my life is about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not myself, so then I'm about something bigger than myself. And then I can come together with someone who I help do that better, who helps me do that better, and we help the bigger picture and goals of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world. And this is why I believe we begin Sheva Brachot with, in the bottom of page 8, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Bara L'Chvodo. First thing is to understand that everything that's here in this world is for the glory of God. If you don't understand that, there's no hope for understanding the creation of man, and then in turn, for having Simchas Chasam V'Kala. The next step is Yotzer Adam. Everything is created by God. We need to remind ourselves that we are created by God. And again, we are a higher level of creation. We mean even more. And our higher level means more potential to serve Him better. And then, after that, we get to the separation of woman from man for the same purpose. To make this more possible. To give us more potential. To help us serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. Or in other words, the view of marriage as a means to realizing our purpose in this world, which is Avodat Hashem. Go back to the words of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, on the bottom of page 2, when he talked about Lo Tovi Yodo Adam Levado, and he said, our mission, any person's mission, is too much for one person to do alone. It has to be divided and given to two people who work together on it as one. Together, people can realize a mission. That's why I believe we start Sheva Brachos with Sheakol Bara Lechvodo, and we end with Asher Bara Sason V'Simcha. We begin with understanding why everything's created, particularly man and from woman from man and the power of their relationship. Then we get to Misameh Chatan V'Kala and how it all comes together in the Bracha of Asher Bara. So, we need to understand why we're separate, why we come from one being, what our relationship should be with each other, and what our mission should be that makes it possible for us to have a real relationship. This is the challenge. Most people have a compartmentalized view of life. They have religion and they have life. Now, as much as you become stronger in religion, you become more devoted to that. Instead of 10% of your life, it becomes 20, 30, 40, or 50%. But then you have your life. So your marriage obviously will take into account your religion, but it also has all kinds of other things you want for yourself. And when you get married that way, you get married with a duality and a confusion. And then you can and can't transcend yourselves. Like I began in the beginning, a person needs to find their wife attractive. They need to find their wife interesting. They need to have a love and an attraction for their wife. For sure, all that. But that is not what the core of marriage should be about. And if it is, well, that's what the sum total of your marriage and the length of your marriage will be. A person has to set out with a sense of what they're looking for, which has to do with how they see themselves. And this is why who a person marries has such an impact on people, because it's not just what happens with that person. It's the basis of how you come together with that person. If the basis of how you come together is sides of yourself that are not ideal, you've already set a tone before the first day of being together. But if the basis of how you come together is the most idyllic sense of yourself, then that's what you're building off. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed that it's going to be that way. Just like when you have Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and you realize what you want to be, doesn't mean you're going to be that way in the middle of Chodesh Shvat. Right? But we need to focus in on that, and for sure, marriage, as an important part of our lives, we need to be keyed into it properly, which is why the girls would dance on Yom Kippur, right? What we're about and what we should be looking for. So the rest of these sessions is going to be about different aspects of marriage, but we wanted to start by talking about what marriage is meant to be. In Mir Tashem, if you set your minds on looking for the right thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you find it. Derech she'adam rotzo leilech molichin oso. Habalatayr, Messiah in law. Habalatame, Poschin law. Hopefully there'll be a Balatayr. Hashem will probably help you with whatever you're looking for. I imagine it'll help you more if you're looking for the right thing. Not today. Today we're building ourselves so that we'll know to look for the right thing. Yemiyot Hashem. Marav.
No, I'm not passing everybody. Just have to get. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Are you going to
recorded? 70 people. I'm sure you can ask one of them.
Which one of the 70 people recorded?
Shit. Here, drop that on me.
Nope. Which part is this?